Hour number two, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday morning. Hope everybody's having a great day thus far. We are at Tin Roof on DeMumbrian. Happy hour every weekday starting at 2 p.m. until 7 p.m. Great drink and food specials. Ian Ayer is on the line with us. We always enjoy our conversations with him. He is the CEO of Nashville SC. He's a very important man. And with that being said, we have very important news. We go over to the desk. Chase McCabe is standing by. Chase.
Thank you very much. Yes, we do have some breaking news. Why would the CEO of Nashville SC be on with us right now at this moment?
He is signing us to a contract.
Well, he is.
To play for the team.
Maybe not quite
no?
like that.
Oh, okay.
But no, we are very excited.
So the three of us are not getting signed.
We're not. Oh. Ian, you don't want to sign us, I promise. But we are very excited to announce that our sister station, ESPN 94.9 Game 2, will be your home for Nashville SC. So you will hear all the games this season on ESPN 94.9 Game 2. And, Ian, we are very excited to enter into this partnership with you all and to be able to carry the games.
It's fantastic. Likewise, you know, we obviously, as we've been approaching this big kickoff season starting tomorrow, for us it's so much about the games, obviously, but also when we're on the road and the build-up to the games. And we've seen with the reaction we've had on tickets that everyone wants to be a part of this. You know, we want to keep people more informed. So this is a really important partnership for us, and we couldn't be happier.
So you don't need us tomorrow night, is that what you're saying? You didn't comment,
you know,
so
what?
You don't need us?
I have your number, so be on standby at least, right?
We could be the e-bug for soccer, although I don't know.
Oh,
it wouldn't
man.
Be called the e-bug.
It would be a double emergency.
A double emergency player or players. That is fair. That's more than fair. Ian, in all seriousness, what is the significance of tomorrow night at Nissan Stadium? I'm hearing more than 50,000 tickets have been sold. It's obviously going to be an unbelievable environment, and it's a brand new chapter in your history. It's a brand new chapter in the history of this city. And so just what's going through your mind as we sit here on the day before, you know, history is going to be made tomorrow night?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to know what's going through my mind, but I have to say that, you know, the word history is exactly the right word. You know, as we get closer, you know, I've been here a very short time, a couple of years, but I've seen these big historic moments in Nashville, saw the NFL draft, seen the Preds in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know, this is one of those moments. This is big time. It's Major League. As you said, you know, we're working to try and fill that place. And I think it shows that this city is, you know, growing like crazy and having another Major League sports team in town. Some people kind of maybe weren't so sure about that at one point, but I think people have voted with their feet and they're coming to Nissan Stadium tomorrow night. And, I mean, the energy we're feeling, you know, from throughout the club, the players, the staff, the owner, it's just been incredible, and you want to be a part of it. You want to see us make history and then continue to be a force in Major League Soccer.
Ian, I know the fans are going to be there tomorrow. It's going to be great. I'm curious, your partnership with Nissan Stadium itself, like when you go in there, the field has always been really built well for soccer. I'm curious what it looks like right now. Is it in good shape with all the rain we've had with the natural surface? And, you know, what kind of communication and partnership have you had with the Titans in order to, you know, put out when stuff is on the Jumbotron, you know, the game management, the game entertainment, in-game entertainment with your logos and everything? Tell us what to expect when people go in there.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I have to say the Titans have been a first-class partner there in every sense. And, you know, they've been helpful, really collaborative. In terms of the field, we work together with them. We just actually installed a brand new field. So first game, the players trained on it today, our players, and that will get its first proper run out tomorrow night. So that'll look nice and new and fresh for the season. And then in terms of in-game entertainment and all that, you know, they have a very, very good team at the stadium, and they've been collaborative. They've allowed our team, our production team, to work, you know, alongside their operations team, and that's the best way. You know, you want a little bit of both. You want people who know the building, know the facility, know how everything kind of comes together, and then, you know, sprinkle some of our magic Nashville Soccer Club dust around it. And I think the collaboration of the two organizations is going to make for a really fantastic occasion.
We know Atlanta United is a great program. They've already had a ton of success. We were looking at some odd makers today. They are the favorite in the Eastern Conference. So what is the right thing to expect? We know that there are always big upsets in soccer. Why not in the first game? But how big of an underdog can you estimate that they are right now, your team?
Well, it's interesting. I think that, you know, I've been around this game for 20 years or more now, and I think that, first and foremost, Atlanta United are a fantastic organization and team, and, you know, 2018 MLS Cup winners, 2019 US Open Cup winners. So there's no question they kind of set the bar in terms of expansion teams. But you know, I've seen before that, you know, when you play, particularly right at the start of the season in those early games, it's probably the best chance you have to take on a really established organization. And, you know, in reality, we don't know what we've got yet, because we really brought 30 players together and they've had 8 weeks in preseason. It doesn't mean we can't be great. It just means you don't really know until you get out there. But if you're going to upset somebody early on in the season is the best time to do it. I'd say nobody's ever at their full potential potentially. And you know, I think we've been pleased with what we've achieved in preseason. Players look good, organized, you know, getting together really well, you know, bringing each of those different characters together. So we feel confident that we'll hold our own. And we know that Gary Smith, our coach, you know, is a reputation for putting teams together that are hard to break down and hard to beat. So I think we're looking forward to it. I don't think there could be a better opposition for a big opener like this.
Now, the crazy support groups, which we've already got a pretty good feel for the USL days over at First Tennessee, I know they're raring to go. So when people walk into the stadium, if they're not part of one of these groups, where should they be looking? Where are those groups going to be gathered?
Yeah, so the supporters section, I believe, is in the south end. And, you know, I think when we've been in that place in USL, we maybe had, you know, 800-900 people in that section. That section sold out almost 5,000 tickets. There'll be a lot of noise. You know, I like to think of that as like the energy plant of the building. There'll be a lot of noise, a lot of smoke and lights, and, you know, there's a lot going on tomorrow night and in subsequent games. That's where you'll feel all the sort of chants starting. You'll hear them. But we are so lucky, you know, those individual groups that we know from USL, the Roadies, you know, the Assembly, there's so many of them. They've all come together now as one organization. They still exist independently, but they've formed this supporters collective called the Backline. And they're such a great group. They're so, you know, they just bring so much to what we're trying to do. And I absolutely know that they're as excited as everybody here is about getting this thing going.
Ian Ayre is our guest, the CEO of Nashville SC. And again, announcing our partnership, 94.9 Game 2 will be the home for all of the Nashville SC games this year. And Ian, what is the message to fans that are going to the game tomorrow, that this might be their first soccer game, that they have been following this process, they've been following this journey, and so they want to check it out, but they don't necessarily know what to expect?
Yeah, I think, listen, it's what we've tried to do is we've tried to build a show here. Of course, we called it the Soccer Festival almost, or the Festival of Soccer. You know, the soccer is the headliner, but there's so much going on. I would say come and take it all in. It's about, you know, just like it is with football in some cases, you know, it's about the journey up to the stadium. It's about getting in. It's about the atmosphere as it builds. It's about the music that we've attached to all the stuff going on. And then when it's in the game, its biggest difference to a lot of US sports is its sort of short-term intensity. So two big periods of 45 minutes where you really want to be in your seat for the whole period because, you know, you might miss the only goal of the game. But I think it's really about that. Come and enjoy it. Get involved. You'll see a lot of chants. We'll be helping people learn some of them. We've got our new anthem being played live by Judah and the Lion pregame. We have a couple of other big, exciting moments going on around the game. And I think just come and take it all in. I went to my first hockey match at Bridgestone just over 2 years ago. And I have to say, you know, I came away loving the whole experience. So I think anyone who went through that process for hockey can absolutely get on board in the same way with soccer.
Well, and one thing, too, with the broadcast team, John Freeman, Wes Bowling, those are familiar names to Nashville SC fans, and then Kelly Glendenning joining as well. They're going to be able to help people along, similar to what the Predators did when they first got here, of kind of helping people learn the game and get that message out. So that's going to be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, everyone I meet says that pretty much they all played soccer growing up as a kid. So I think we have a little bit less work to do generally, but it's absolutely going to be crucial that with you guys and the support of the team, that we can continue to just kind of bring people to the sport, educate them a little around the game and the rules. And, you know, I hope that we can enjoy anything like the success that our friends down at Bridgestone, the Predators, have had. And let's make this a soccer city.
How big, as we wrap this up, Ian, how big do you think this rivalry can be between Nashville and Atlanta?
I think it's going to be huge. You know, I was actually on the phone for a while. The guy who does my job down in Atlanta, Darren Eales, is an old foe and friend of mine. He was at Tottenham in the Premier League when I was at Liverpool, and we talked a lot about it. I think it's going to be a fun rivalry. You know, our supporters are doing some stuff together in the community tomorrow. There'll be plenty of banter and plenty of hazing and all that fun stuff. But we really want to build it into, you know, a bit like I made a comment the other day that if you look at the rivalry around SEC football, it's some of the best in the country. And I think that's what we want to drive for. Let's make this game each year one of the biggest games on the calendar.
No doubt about it. Ian, soak it all in tomorrow night. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're excited to be partnered up with you guys again, especially as you kick off a new season of MLS for the first time. And always good to talk to you. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you. It's going to be a big ride, and we're glad to have you guys along.
We're excited. Ian Ayer is the CEO of Nashville SC, and all their games can be heard on 94.9 Game 2 this season.
Tomorrow at 4, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, we'll have a Nashville SC special. Wes Bowling will anchor our coverage from Nissan Stadium. That'll lead into pregame for the Predators. And then at 6:30 on 94.9 Game 2, that's when you can hear coverage of Nashville SC and Atlanta United.
What a night.
Going to be, it's gonna be loaded.
Great night.
Like I said, they've sold over 50,000 tickets to that game in Nissan Stadium. Pack your patience if you're coming downtown tomorrow night. We'll be back. More Darren, Donick, and Chase next. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. I'm so excited. I remember this video quite well.
Donna Summer?
Donna Summer.
No.
Summer.
Incorrect.
No?
What?
You're incorrect.
It's not Donna Summer?
It's not Donna Summer?
You don't remember it very well.
Really?
The Pointer Sisters. This is the Pointer Sisters. Don't confuse Donna Summer with the Pointer Sisters.
My bad. I thought it was Donna Summer, too. My bad. I thought Chase was right. I was going to say Donna Summer.
Listen, I have learned with – is this 80s? I mean, is this early
80s?
Yes.
This is 80s.
For sure. I was listening to this on a cassette.
Don't
Donna Summer is a little more 70s than 80s. Donna Summer is a little shade towards the 70s. She's still in the 80s some, but.
Why did we both think it was Donna Summer?
Why are you looking at him? He's
No, because we didn't coordinate that. I was getting ready to say it, and he said it. And I was like, yeah, that's there you go. Good job.
We are excited about our partnership with Nashville SC on 94.9 Game 2, but you should be excited. You should come see us at Tin Roof on Demumbrian because you can register to win tickets.
You can get tickets to this game.
To tomorrow's
game.
Yes.
Every hour. So we just pulled out the 10 o'clock winner, his name, and Chris Hand. Congratulations. Chris Hand is our 10 o'clock winner So, Chris, good job. Remember, get in here to Tin Roof on Demumbrian, and we're going to give away tickets every single hour. So,
yes,
good job
are.
By Chris Hand.
Yes. Congratulations to him.
Tim Corbin at the bottom of the hour.
Congratulations to him.
He is a Hall of Famer, and we look forward to our chat with him at 11:30. 12 o'clock will be You Just Made the List. Chris Stapleton tickets on the line at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday, October 23rd. So you're going to want to bring it at high noon. And for pick six, this week's winner is going to receive a pair of tickets to see Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band at Ascend Amphitheater on May 13th. Hello! That's the pick six winner.
I'm also having a lot of trouble.
So keep that in mind
right
for
now.
1 o'clock.
I'm having problems right now. I had a great, in my mind, and it's vanished. It's in my mind somewhere. I had a great, you just made the list, and it is escaping me.
Oh.
And I have, from now until when we do, you just made the list, to get it back in my mind.
Okay. Well, you have.
I have a backup.
You have 40 minutes.
I have a backup in case. But, I mean, this was a really good one. I was walking around my house, and I was like, that's a great. And I why didn't I write it down? Why didn't I do that right there?
You have to. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Because you're just, too many things happen. You're going to forget. That's how it works. I know.
Jeez.
So, tomorrow night, as we just talked with Ian Ayer, it'll be Nashville SC and Atlanta United at Nissan Stadium, the Predators and the Avs to close out the month of February. So, the Predators are closing out their month. Nashville SC is beginning their new history, beginning on February 29th. And how crazy is that? We'll always remember that trivia question. It's going to be you'll get thrown off because you won't think February 29th.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? You'll get that.
Or
that'll
you will,
be,
well, do you think you'll get thrown off, or will it help you remember more because February 29th?
Some
every
it'll help
years.
Remember more. Others will be like, oh yeah, it was leap right. year. That's
now here's
right.
my question: will Nashville SC recognize the 1 year anniversary on March 1st or February 28th? Next year.
That's a good question. Really
because
good
I always
question.
Wonder, like, people that are born on February
29th. Let's get
29th,
to the important stuff.
No, that's a great question.
Like, does anybody know anyone that was born on February 29th? When do they celebrate their birthday?
I don't. Good question. I don't know. I do not know a February 29th birthday. Do you?
I do, actually.
I don't.
Really?
Okay.
Surprisingly
so
enough.
So when do they celebrate?
March 1st, because whenever he turned 21, he couldn't legally buy alcohol because the 28th is before the 29th, so he wasn't technically 21 at that time.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So technically, if you're celebrating on the 28th, you're really celebrating before your birthday.
Precisely.
Is that so March 1st, that is, you're in the safe zone. You're not, it's not pre-birthday. Okay.
Exactly. That's
that
how he
sense.
Viewed it, at least.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that makes sense. I
totally
get that.
Makes sense. Thank you, Elijah. You are our birthday correspondent.
Yes, our birthday desk.
I'll take
Elijah
that title.
Campbell. How are the ghosts at your house?
Oh, they're there.
Quiet lately?
Nothing lately. It comes and goes. My Xbox will turn itself on occasionally. Same stuff.
We need to do a show there.
We can do a remote from my house and just see what kind of stuff happens.
Look, I got enough ghosts and goblins to deal with sometimes. Like, I don't know if we need to add to it.
Yeah, you're spooked a lot.
Oh, you wouldn't like it there then, Chase.
The truth. Need a stiff drink.
Well, you're at the right place.
I am at the right place.
You don't have to go far, my friend.
Yeah. Tin Roof.
It's about 30 feet. 30 feet to your left.
Listen. Sitting on this stage is fun because I have had some good times listening to music at this place. So,
if these walls could talk, if this place could write a book, boy, that would be an interesting read.
You'd probably have to show your ID to buy that book.
It may be. Yeah, there may be chapters. You may have to put a rating on that book.
Yeah.
No, in all seriousness, there has been a lot of history with this place. And you know how many famous people have been in here?
Yeah.
How many famous athletes, famous people have been in this bar?
Oh, yeah. The first time, actually, the first time I met Chris Mason was in here.
I was going to say, the Predators, I don't know the scene anymore, but yeah. Willie, you remember this. The early days of the Predators, I mean, this is where they came. This was the hangout. Is that fair to say?
True statement.
Right?
True statement.
Now, I don't know if it's still that way. I mean, there's obviously a lot of options in our city now, but this was the hangout for the Nashville Predators players.
And what's so cool about Tin Roof is this, I believe, was the original one.
I don't think Jordan Tutu was ever in here, but everybody else was in here.
Well, he's got a stick.
That was a big joke.
I think this is the original one, and now they're everywhere. I went to a Tin Roof in Indianapolis. I've been to the Tin Roof in Kansas City. Went to one in Baltimore. They're everywhere. I mean, it wasn't Kansas City; it was Baltimore, but they're everywhere, and that's pretty cool to say. You know, this is kind of where it all began. There's one out in Cool Springs, obviously on Broadway. So we've done some fun player shows.
I feel like I've been in here before back in the day, and Peyton Manning was in here.
Probably.
I feel like that's right. Who was the former Titans defensive guy from Washington State? That Washburn used to ride really hard, and they ended up having a great relationship. He used to work here.
From Washington State.
D-lineman. Titans. Crazy hair. Lots of hair. Hairy. Hairy dude.
Piller?
No. Well, Piller was an offensive lineman.
Defensive lineman. I don't know.
Drawing a blank. Defensive end? Defensive tackle?
Washburn used to just, early on in his career, used to be all over him. But they ended up having a great relationship, and he made him better. He ended up turning into a really good player for him, and I'm not drawing blanks.
Where did he – do you remember where he went to college? Did he go to University of Washington? You said Washington – Washington State. Okay. I'm having a bad day. Sorry. Well, when you say Washington State, I thought you meant he's, from the state of Washington.
You have a computer in front of you. You can look it up if you want.
Kevin? Yeah. We'll come back.
I got a great story. I just can't tell you who it's about.
No, I was looking for help.
He used to
Washington State, and the help I get is what?
I don't know the employee list at Tin Roof. I don't know the people that work here.
Well, that's the employee list. I said he used to play for the Titans. I gave you a description of him. I got no help. I got crickets.
that was
Rapati Patoatua?
No. You watch your mouth. Sorry. We'll come back to Tim Corbin. Hall of Famer on the other side, Darren Donick and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game. I see what Elijah did. Very clever, Elijah.
The doors.
We had Tony Delk on the show. We congratulated him he will be inducted into the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame. Had a really good conversation with him. Yesterday, we had on Terry Crisp. And he also was given the news that he, too, will be in this latest class of the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame this summer. Jeff Fisher was at the Predators game Saturday night. He will be a part of this class. And our next guest, Tim Corbin. This is nice, but we've been calling him a Hall of Famer for a long time. Tim Corbin is on the line, Vanderbilt baseball coach. Tim, how you doing?
Thank you, Darren. I'm doing good.
So were you taken by surprise yesterday with this announcement?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I didn't see that coming. My wife will be around here, but typically not when we're doing press conference things. So I thought she was either being nosy or I didn't anticipate what was coming. So that was, certainly a pleasant surprise for sure.
Do you feel like in the future, Tim, that you will pull the Hall of Fame card on Maggie at any point?
No, she's already a Hall of Famer. She's a Hall of Famer at the College of Charleston and for tennis. So she did something athletically that I've never done. So she's got one ahead of me. She was a Hall of Famer long before this situation came about.
So she basically went, blah, 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 been there, done that.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, that one, that joke bombed. I'll keep going. Yeah. This has been a good week.
You're off to a great start.
For you guys. You've had to deal with the elements. It hasn't exactly been great weather, but you feel like things are coming around. The pitching has been spectacular. You've been scoring more runs. How have you felt about the latest round of Vanderbilt baseball?
Well, the pitching's been consistent. I think that's the best way we can put it. It's thrown strikes. Their pace has been good. They have not pitched in easy situations. From a condition standpoint, the teams, they've been able to keep them off the scoreboard and slow them down. They've been able to lessen the base runners, and we've actually played pretty good defense. Now, in saying that, they've taken care of a lot of the outs themselves, which is good, but the times that we've had to play defense, we have, so that part's good. We're catching the ball well behind the plate. For young freshman, C.J. Rodriguez has done a nice job, and, of course, Tyler Duvall. And then offensively, we're just growing. We're continuing to get better with games, and that's what it's going to take, especially as the pitching starts to ramp up a little bit, as it's going to this weekend with Hawaii. We're going to see several good arms, and that's needed as we start to go forward, because we're going to continually start to see that.
We've talked a lot about your pitching, and obviously you've got great arms, and especially in the freshmen, and Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker, and the list goes on, but your junior, Austin Martin, we've talked to you about him, but let's focus in on him. He had a big game, a couple of home runs in your last game, your win over St. Louis. I think he's batting over 400. What does Austin Martin mean to your team, Tim, and what about his growth from when he arrived to where he is today?
Well, he's had great growth from a maturity standpoint. I think that's number one. Not to say he was immature, but just to see the habits of someone that is evolving as a student and then as a student athlete, and then start to display organizational skills in life that are so imperative for someone who's successful. And that's what I've definitely seen with him. He competes. He competes at a very high level, and that is certainly good for a team. And he's his own person. I think he's that blend of kid where he's got his own style. He wears clothing and does things in a way that's just him, but yet his leadership skills are very powerful, because he's got a connection with the team. He gives confidence to the team because he's got confidence in himself. He's got high believability in himself. And I think from that vantage point, he's got a lot of great leadership skills. I've often told him that I know air traffic control is in the back of his mind someday because his dad's involved in that, but I think he'd be a wonderful teacher. I think he does a great job of communicating with his teammates about the game, and when he talks, people do listen because he's got a lot of good information. He pays attention. Can't really catch him off guard, so, yeah, he means a lot to our team.
We're talking to Tim Corbin, and, Tim, I've seen through the years how hard it is sometimes for people to jump right in and become a college catcher at this level. It's a lot more complex than it might appear from the stands. So tell me about Rodriguez. What makes him ready to be able to take on those duties so young?
Well, he catches the ball well. He can throw the ball well. And I think because he was forced into a lot of action in the fall with Tyler Duvall being out, Keegan being out, he and Romero got all the reps behind the plate, the two freshmen, and where CJ is ahead of a lot of people is just his feel for the game. Now, after the first weekend, I think he started to settle down, which is pretty normal for a freshman, but came to camp. We liked what he could do in camp in terms of catching the ball, and I think the trait of any catcher, especially when they're catching our staff, because I think our staff is – it's not easy staff to catch. I mean, there's a lot of high velocities, there's a lot of movement, and there's a lot of sharp breaking balls. And with that, there's a few misfires. So if you're sitting in the catcher's area and all of a sudden you're calling for a ball away and the next thing you know it's up and in, then you have to move accordingly. But I think good catchers are a lot like good umpires. You don't notice them because the game is clean and they make it look clean, and he certainly has done that. And then the other part of CJ, which is equally as impressive is how he's handled the offensive side of things. He puts the ball in play and just doesn't strike out. So he does a lot for your team in order for them to move forward in a positive way.
We learn a lot about your team from Max Hurst, from our staff, who's calling a lot of the games when Joe Fisher is calling basketball. And one of the things he's touched on with us, and this is something that I know is evolving, there are some college programs that would never let any pitcher or catcher call their own game. The pitching coach or somebody from the dugout is going to have a say. But you guys are getting more and more, giving more and more responsibility, it looks like, to the pitchers, the catchers, to be able to get a feel for that.
It's earned. I think in order to do that, a pitching coach has to look at the pitcher and the catcher and say they're very capable of doing it. And then you listen to certain pitchers speak, and you know that they're paying attention to film. You know they're paying attention to feet. You know they're paying attention to swing angles and decisions made by the hitter. And when a guy like Kumar Brownie finally got to a point, about three quarters of the way through the season last year, where he said, "You call what you want to call. I'm going to give you a pitch, but you call what you want to throw." And essentially what Kumar was doing was making those decisions himself based on how he felt and based on what he was reading at the plate. And I think a lot of that's instinctual. It's intuition, and not everyone has that. There are some pitchers, really good pitchers, that get on the mound and don't want to think about their pitch. They just want to be told what to throw, and then they throw it. So I guess it just differs for the kid, but In cases where Brownie thinks the guy's capable, then I think you let him run with it, because if they do, they feel good and they feel more equipped to do what they need to do in order to win.
You mentioned Kumar Rocker. He had another great performance. He's so dominating with the two pitches that he has. Long term, I'm sure it would be something that would be important to keep developing the third pitch. He doesn't have to throw it very much, but Where is that in the process right now, and how much would you like for him to mix in a third pitch just so he has it in the repertoire?
Well, he left the exit meeting last spring after we got back from Omaha. That's why, you know, I just talked about the changeup with him. I talked about that. That's the next progression for a young pitcher. And during the summer, I just texted him, changeup. That was it. Not hello, not bye, just changeup. And so I put it in his mind, and so when he throws it, which he did last week, he threw it pretty well too, he's starting to get a good feel of it. And I think that when he starts equipping himself with that, that's when he becomes very difficult, because then, you know, as a hitter, you're sitting on speeds, you're sitting on rhythms. And when you've got a kid like him that throws a hard fastball that moves, throws a hard breaking ball, and then can slow the ball down, you've got a challenge. And the other piece of this is, he is intimidating, obviously, his size, but what makes him tough to hit, too, is he's that kid that will misfire, and he'll misfire up and in, and it's not intentional. But he's hit some kids above the shoulder blades, and that's no fun for a hitter when you're thinking about, I got to think about a ball coming up and in, and then you want me to cover the plate, and that's very difficult to do. And then the next pitch, he'll drop a slider right over the middle of the plate. So he's tough to stand in against.
Tim Corbin is with us, Vanderbilt baseball coach and Tennessee Sports Hall of Famer. You know, when I look at your team, you know, going back to last year and even the year before, I mean, the hitting, what you guys are starting the year off this year doing, Mike Baxter, somebody that, you know, knows the program, has been around you for a long time, is an assistant and the hitting coach. What are some things that he works on with some of your hitters that help them evolve and keep hitting at such a great pace?
Well, first of all, he's so good at what he does, and Brownie is too, and Dave Macias. I feel like a dad that has two sons working in the business for him, and that's where David and Mike come in, and then Brownie has been a right-hand man for a long period of time. But Mike's a special guy because he can teach swing mechanics, which he does, but he really teaches the approach. I mean, the approach to hitting, which I think is so important. He just doesn't want hitters to be split at the plate. I think there's a huge part of him that just wants hitters to get up there, identify what they want mentally first, and then start looking for it. And I think that's the thing that all these hitters have learned the most from him about. He was a college hitter and a real good one here at Vanderbilt, then went off and had an 11-year career in professional baseball, 8 of those years in the big leagues. And that's a self-made kid now. When I first saw him, and he always jokes to the players about what I told him when he first came in, I told him, we're going to send you back to your Ivy League school if you keep lowering that barrel when you take it through the zone. And I did tell him that. I said, you'll never hit here. And he ended up flattening out his swing and ended up spinning the ball pretty well. But he's a kid that really, really understands hitting. He understands approaches, and he does a great job of communicating to the kids. The kids really, really trust him. So we're lucky to have him.
Tim, I know we talked to you a few weeks ago when the change at athletic director happened, but we had Candace Story Lee on this morning for the first time, our first chance to really talk to her. And Derek Mason was on earlier this week and said she was there the first day of practice. What have been some of the interactions now that it's been a few weeks with you and Candace Story Lee?
Well, I've known Candace for the 18 years I've been here, and I love her. I mean, I just love her as a person. And that's aside from her professional way of going about it. But she has some great strengths. And the one strength she has that all people are looking for is communication skills and honesty and trust. And I think her ability to relate to everyone, I mean, she's a chameleon. She could communicate with anyone. Is the most powerful thing that she does. And there's a sun over her all the time. I mean, there's a positivity about her that is just very easy to see. I mean, you see her teeth all the time. She's smiling, and, you know, she knows when to get serious, but she also knows how to create harmony within a group of people. And I think that's the most important thing. When you start taking the people that you're around and you start accumulating positive energy so it can move in a direction, then you've got something. And, you know, I've been at Vanderbilt for 18 years, and it's very easy to be cynical about what happens to Vanderbilt and when decisions are made, you know, and I get that. But, you know, with this child, she will be able to move people in the direction they need to go. And I think you'll see some things from her that people might be unexpecting right now, but in time I feel strongly about Candace. She's a tremendous person to be around. I've always liked her. I've always respected her, and I think that's the most important thing. I like her as a human, but I respect her as a professional, and she's very good at what she does.
Tim, well said. Congrats again on what will happen this summer in the Tennessee Sports Hall of Fame, and go get Hawaii this weekend, starting today.
Okay. Thank you always, guys.
Yeah, thanks for doing this.
Yep.
Tim Corbin, he's a Hall of Famer. We knew that. He's also Vanderbilt's baseball coach. And we just learned something. Maggie was a Hall of Famer before him.
She was a great tennis player. Great tennis player. For real.
Two Hall of Fame individuals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've always been in the human Hall of Fame for sure. All right, we will come back and put a bow on the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. You just made the list coming up at noon. Chris Stapleton tickets on the line. Saturday night, October 23rd at Bridgestone Arena, but you better bring it. We're live here at Tin Roof on Broadway. Don't forget St. Patrick's Day. They're going to have a big party here that's just around the corner. Their big extravaganza is just around the corner as well here in a couple of weeks. Don't forget they have multiple stages in here, multiple acts, multiple drink stations, a lot of televisions. This is a place you can watch the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
In March, we just talked about it. We're going into March. Gosh, Sunday will be March. So when we take the airwaves Monday morning, we are already in March. But it's going to be a fun sports month.
Oh, yeah. So speaking of TVs here, when the Predators made the run to the Stanley Cup Final, it was round two against St. Louis. I want to say game two. It was the game that Kevin Fiala got hurt. Was that?
That was against St. Louis in the second round.
Second round. What game was that?
Game one or two.
One or two.
Well, we know that. It was
game one.
It was
okay. So I sat on the other side. I was with Chris Mason, Lindsey Rowley, Kara Hammer. They had an event here, and some of my friends came as well, and we watched the Predators and the Blues, and this place was packed because of the TVs and the big screen that they have over on the other side. So it's definitely a good place to watch sporting events, and I've watched several more since then here.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by that at all. Like I said, March is going to be a great sports month. It's going to be a very active month for the Predators. We've already talked about it. Nashville SC kicks off their MLS season tomorrow night.
Yep.
By the way, is that game aired on – I know we're airing it on radio, yeah, but for television purposes, because the MLS season as a whole, the league begins tomorrow. That's a big matchup. Is it on
– national –
that's what I'll say. Is it on Fox?
It's on Fox.
Wow.
Is it FS1?
Let me – and you guys are going to ask me that. I'm getting that information. Yeah, because it's a nationally televised game. So it is on Fox. Big Fox.
That's what I thought. Yep. I thought it was on Fox.
The big one.
Yeah.
The big one.
And 94.9 Game 2, as we announced earlier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who does the game on Fox? Do you know?
I don't.
The crew?
Yeah, I don't know the talent for that. I can effort to find out, but I do not know who's going to be on the call for that one.
But you can come here at Tin Roof on Demumrian and watch Predator games, watch the NCAA tournament. I mean, you can watch everything that is going on. Baseball season, oh, by the way. Have you seen when they start Major League Baseball season?
Yeah,
I don't ever remember them starting this early.
Yeah.
They start like March 26th. And it's on a Thursday. They kick off like the whole season on a Thursday. Remember how they used to do the Sunday night baseball game? That would get everything going. And then the full slate on Monday. This year it's on a Thursday.
Good.
And I don't know. I wonder why they're starting even earlier, which, you know, obviously it creates quite the challenges in certain markets. March 26th, I mean, it could be really dangerous in Detroit and New York and Cleveland and Philadelphia and Boston.
Yeah, no question.
I haven't looked to see.
It's really not that different in April. It just gives you an extra week of those things.
It's not really, but your chances of anything salvageable are probably down a little bit.
There are going to be some issues.
Yeah.
Because you have an extra week of it, right? If it doesn't hit one week, it'll hit the next week.
So why do you think, because like I said, I don't ever remember them starting this early. March 26th. Is there a reason behind that?
I think they're trying to work in more off days to the schedule.
Really?
And they're trying to make sure that they don't go in November for the postseason. And remember, all of this other stuff has been in the hopper of maybe trying to add more teams to the playoffs, which I hope they don't do, but that's just me.
John Strong, Stu Holden, and Katie Witham will be the Fox crew calling the game for Nashville SC.
Who?
John Strong, Stu Holden, and Katie Witham.
Okay.
Alexi Lawless is a studio analyst. I believe Sarah Walsh has been a part of their
coverage,
really? Too. Yep. So.
Huh.
Did you see her on Twitter the other day? She was juggling in the backyard, doing her thing.
I did not see that.
She's ready.
I did not. So it'll be cool. Very cool night. In Smashville. I love the billboards I've seen, too, with the Predators and Nashville SC embracing the gold. You know, city under gold.
Where's your gold, by the way, guys? I got my gold on today. Today's supposed to be like the big wear your gold day.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. I didn't get the memo.
Get with the
times.
Just
like I didn't get the memo that the game was moved to 6 o'clock last night.
Get with the times. The game is at 6 o'clock. The hockey game is at 6.
You want to go there? Get me going?
Did you get the memo that you can come into Tin Roof and register to win tickets to Nashville SC?
There's
tomorrow?
Another memo. We got a lot of memos. We've got to get the word out.
A lot of memos.
It's up to us. It's up to us to get it out.
I've been having to issue a lot of memos today, so.
Yeah. Roger tweeted at me. Right. I mean, literally right as you were saying it, Sarah Walsh being a part of the Nashville SC broadcast. So thank you, Roger, for tweeting that our director. We'll have to get Sarah on.
Sure.
We haven't talked to her in a while, and we could certainly do that. But, yeah, I mean, I just thought that was interesting. March 26th. So March is going to be a huge month. we're excited about. There's going to be a lot going on. The Predators are going to make their push, certainly NFL free agency. That is March is going to be a big month there. I mean,
Brady watch. You know, we're
John Robinson. I'm not envious of his job here in the next couple of weeks because they're going to have to make some tough decisions, and I really don't know how this is going to play out, which is part of the fun.
Yeah, I see. You don't envy him, and I don't either. Like I would not be able to do the job, you know. But I think for him. And what he signed up for, I think he's looking forward to this. This is probably going to be the most.
Do GMs look forward to this?
I don't know.
You know,
if only we knew one to
like
ask.
The really really tough decisions, or do they? I don't know.
I would think that the best GMs in any sport
welcome
are the ones that you know what, throw whatever you want to throw at me, I got it.
Okay.
Like I'm ready for it. And I would say this is probably the most important offseason of John Robinson's tenure with the Titans. It's definitely.
I don't think there's any doubt that that is the truth.
He's definitely got the biggest decisions to make because it's not just getting the running back re-signed because you don't really have any other options there, but it's do you want to just stick with Tannehill or are you going to make a run at Brady? Like, what are you going to do there? So, look, it is a tough one for him, but I also think that he's in a position that He can have multiple options to get this right, and I think that's fun for him.
We will come back and kick things off with the list. You just made the list. Chris Stapleton tickets on the line, but you're going to have to get involved with us here on this Friday. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We will do that to kick off the third hour, but right now I want to talk to you about USS, United Structural Systems, a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served our area here in Middle Tennessee since 1994. And they have more than 18,000 satisfied homeowners. And I know I'm talking to a lot of homeowners out there right now. If you've noticed maybe some bricks cracking on your home or walls bowing, maybe you've been opening and closing doors and windows when the weather's been nice and you've noticed that they're sticking or drywall separating, stair step cracks in masonry mortar joints, a chimney that's tilting or leaning. These are all signs that maybe your house is telling you something is wrong. And most of us are not the experts, right? Most of us, something like this is going on. We need help. We need to get the experts out, and that's where USS comes into play. They are the experts. They're going to come out and give you a free estimate or at least tell you what's going on. They may tell you, don't worry about it. But they believe in their quality of work. They believe in their reputation. And they have integrity with their work. They're locally owned and they're licensed and insured. And if you're a homeowner, all these things should have you perking up. So if you need to get them out to your house, call this number, 615-227-2275. That's 227-2275. Or go to their website, USSTN.com. And as they say, we guarantee our best. Call USS.